I want to talk today about community. You know, it's one of the three things the Lord wants us to focus on as a church this year is the growing and developing community, which when you hear the word community, it's just a word in the Bible called fellowship. It's the idea that you share something in common. And God has called the church to be a community. It's a community of people. Our community is based on a relationship with Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, what is it that really binds us together? I mean, we all have different hobbies or interests. We're different ages, different sexes, different personalities. But the thing that joins us together is Jesus. That's the common denominator. And the kingdom of God has always been about breaking down barriers. I mean, the greatest barrier to me is when the Lord himself became a man. He who is God became a man to come into this world and broke that barrier so he could live among us and redeem us and die for us. And the gospel, ever since then, has been forcing us to break down barriers. It began largely with a Jewish community, and the Lord told them to go into all nations. And so it was very difficult for the church to move from just being an outreach to Jewish people to the Gentile. And then Jesus said to go into all nations. So it was cultural barriers, and there were language barriers, and all kinds of barriers the church is constantly having to break down to invite people into this community that we're all one in Christ. And so what I want to talk to you about today is overcoming barriers to community. Because, I mean, even though we all speak the same language and we're all Americans, culturally we're all very similar, you can still have barriers in America among people like us. And we want to look at those barriers and then break them down so we can truly be in community with one another. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you." Now, John's writing to these people and he's telling them, hey, we've seen Jesus. We've touched him. We've heard him. We know he's real. And that's what we're proclaiming to you. We're proclaiming to you exactly who Jesus is. And that's really the essence of our preaching the gospel. We are also proclaiming Jesus to the world around us. But look what it says here. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." And now he's telling us the reason. Who can see it there? What is the reason of our proclamation? What are we inviting people to? So that you can have fellowship with us. Think about that. When you are proclaiming Jesus and you're going out into this world or talking to your neighbor or somebody at work or somebody even in your family, what you're doing is you're telling them what you've seen and heard and you're telling them about Jesus, but you're inviting them to fellowship. We want you to be in community with us. We want you to share and participate in this life of God. And so that's what he says. We proclaim him so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what I was telling you earlier, that is the common denominator. I'm not just inviting you into fellowship with me. That would be nice, I guess, for some people. But our fellowship is truly with him. So we're inviting people into fellowship with us, me and Jesus, you and Jesus, all of us together in the kingdom of God. Now I want to show you a little drawing, a little illustration here. This is how it works sometimes in churches. You have two people who love Jesus, but they don't care too much for each other. Now, is this is this fellowship, is this the fellowship that he's calling us to? No, it's not really. He says, I'm calling you, I'm proclaiming him, that you can have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with him. So look around the room today, look around, and identify that one person that you could just do without. And I'll bet you somebody comes to mind. Maybe not sitting here, but maybe another Christian somewhere. I love Jesus. I know they love Jesus, but I could probably do without him. But that's not what community is. Community is this call to fellowship with Jesus and with one another. And to be able to identify what are those barriers. You know, what are the things that's causing that conflict to happen to where we find that separation? And that's what I want to talk about today. So let's look at Luke chapter 7. I'll begin in verse 36. It says there, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. The Bible doesn't tell us why he invited Jesus. I mean, he may have invited him over there to trip him up. He maybe invited him because he was curious about who he was. Maybe he was in his own heart being drawn to Jesus. But he opened his life to Jesus. He invited him into his home. This was a Pharisee. So one of the Pharisees asked him to come and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. I love the idea that Jesus even went to fellowship with those who were against him as a group. Maybe not this one. He was constantly breaking down barriers. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. Now, if you know anything about the Pharisees, they were serving God in their own heart. They were trying to worship God. They were trying to be holy before him. They were very religious, very particular about the rules and all the regulations, all the things that they had put together to try to be holy people. And for them, they would avoid being anywhere near a sinner. There was a barrier. Here they were, these religious people, in their own way, in their own heart, trying to be righteous, trying to serve God, trying to be men and women of God. And at the same time, here's another woman who's also trying to get close to Jesus. And there's a huge barrier. This guy can't receive her. And so this is what the story's about. Behold, there was a woman of the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and then standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. I tell you, I don't know about you, but this is an amazing picture of a woman. I mean, the woman's hair is for her glory, the Bible says. And she's taking this thing for glory and wiping his feet. I mean, her feet were always dirty because they wore sandals, walked sometimes even through animal manure. Their feet were dirty. And here's this woman who, she's also drawn into this house because of something that she has in her heart for Jesus. I want to get close to Jesus. I'm here. She heard. She learned about it. He's going to be in this house. And to me, it would have been a huge obstacle for her to overcome to even walk into the house of a Pharisee. But somehow, knowing that Jesus was there, she felt welcome and drawn. Maybe there was safety in Jesus. I don't know. But she came in. And of course, back in those days, they would recline on the floor to eat, and Jesus is laying there, and she's standing here right at his feet, and she's crying, and all of her tears are falling down on his feet, and then she gets down and begins to wipe it with her hair. That's the picture. So I see in this two people being drawn to Jesus. A Pharisee inviting him into the home for whatever his motive, I don't know. But he's drawn to Jesus to spend time with him. And another woman who's drawn to Jesus. And there's a huge barrier between them because one is pursuing a life of righteousness in his own way, and the other was pursuing a life of sin. And here they are, both in the same room together, and the Pharisee looks at her, and it says in verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, and I want you to focus on that word saw, because you're going to find it in this story, and I believe it's throughout the ones I'll share with you today, it's how we see people that determines whether we can really break down the barriers of our community. How we see people. What's our viewpoint? So this Pharisee, when he saw this, he said to himself, well, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So what did the guy see? Well, he saw reality. He saw the woman crying. He saw her wiping his feet. He knew her reputation, but that's all he could see. But what did Jesus see in this woman? You see the difference there? What he saw caused him to raise a barrier, and even in some ways to bring judgment against Jesus. If he was really a prophet, I mean, he's claiming to be a prophet, he was really this, he would know who this woman was and he wouldn't let her touch him. But Jesus saw something altogether different. What this Pharisee saw was not the reality, was it? He just saw the outward, and he had a preconceived idea of who she was. But he didn't see what was going on in her heart. And there were some deep things happening here. I mean, if you think about it, in the eyes of the Lord, if a man's trying to be righteous based on his own works versus a woman in true repentance, who's really righteous before the Lord? But this Pharisee wasn't able to see it. And so it says the Pharisee saw this. He said, if he were a prophet, he would know who this was. So then in verse 40, Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, it's a simple question. Two people owe me money, 550. I'm going to say, you know what? Neither of you can pay me back. I'm going to forgive you. Who will love him more? And the Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said, you have judged rightly. So Jesus gives a little parable, trying to teach a truth to this man. And of course, in the parable, I'm assuming Simon is the guy who owes 50 and this woman owes 500. And though it says there in verse 44, then turning toward the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? So now Jesus is going to show him what he sees. See, Simon saw the woman, he saw a sinner. When Simon saw the woman, he saw her crying, he saw the tears, he saw the hair, he saw the whole picture, but he didn't really see her. He did not see her. But Jesus said, now, Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus is going to open his eyes. Let me show you the reality of what's going on here. He says, I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. Now, back then, it was a custom. When someone would come to your house, it was just a matter of hospitality. You wash their feet or give them water so they can wash their feet. And this man overlooked that. I came, You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. I mean, just a greeting. Welcome. You know, you give them like the double kiss on the cheek type thing. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, it almost kind of indicates there that maybe she was there even before Jesus got there. From the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. Again, it's a common courtesy, a way to bless a guest, hospitality. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many. I mean, Jesus wasn't denying her sin, but he said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, Jesus is opening his eyes. See, what you see is this prostitute, or whatever she was, a sinner, a woman known around town. But what I see is a heart that's turning, a heart that's repenting, a heart that loves. He says she's forgiven much because she loves. There's something about her that's drawing her to Jesus, but this other man can't see it. And I think that's what happens oftentimes when we find ourselves in community with people, is we prejudge or we have an opinion about somebody or something or what we heard or what they're doing or what they said, or who knows? Who knows what we judge by? But we oftentimes fail to see what's really happening. I mean, if this Pharisee could have had his eyes open maybe from the very beginning, and if he really had a heart to see people come into the Lord, I think he would have rejoiced at what was going on there. But he allowed his own religious understanding create a barrier that would be almost impossible for him to have fellowship with this woman. And yet that's what Jesus is calling us to. We are proclaiming him that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's for anybody. Anybody who will come, no matter what they look like, no matter what their past has been. She is forgiven much because she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Isn't that a beautiful story? But what it's about is, are we able to see people the way Jesus sees them? Because if we don't pursue that, it's not like, I'm not making an indictment. It's just human nature for us to prejudge people. You know, we have a grid we look through, and we see people, and we have value judgments. It's almost impossible not to have them. But we have to say, Lord, help me see these people the way you see them. Let me see what's going on here, Lord Jesus. And somehow open my eyes up so that those who are coming into fellowship with Jesus, I can truly have community with them. Here's some other examples in the Bible. I'm not going to read these, but you're hopefully familiar with the stories. What about in John 4? When Jesus talked to the woman at the well. Remember that story? There were barriers there. First barrier was, it was a Jew talking to a Samaritan. They really didn't have dealings with one another, but Jesus broke through that barrier. A Jew speaking to a Samaritan. Another barrier was, men didn't talk with women. And here's Jesus, a man talking to a woman. His disciples were actually surprised when they came back from getting the food that he was talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman. And yet Jesus was there because what did he see? A woman who was ready to turn. The apostles would have walked by her. They would have avoided her. They would have had no conversation with her. First, because she's a Samaritan. Secondly, because she's a woman. And yet, this woman was ready to turn her whole town on fire for Jesus. What did Jesus see? He saw a woman as she kind of evolved her understanding of him. First, he was a man. Then he said, I perceive you're a prophet, when Jesus had conversation. Then she said, maybe you're the Messiah. And then she went to the town and told everybody, hey, come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. Maybe he's the Messiah. And everybody came out and they heard Jesus. And it says the people believed because of what they heard. You are the Savior of the world, they said. So this woman's understanding of who Jesus was evolving. But he saw within her heart that was turning, that was willing to turn. But these Pharisees, as I said, would have walked right by and missed it. And Jesus even told the his disciples on that day, don't say there are 4 months and then the harvest. Look, right now the fields are white unto harvest. I'm thinking he's saying that as all the people in the town are walking up the hill to see who this is. He's saying, look, the harvest is here. But it's because of this woman. Jesus broke down these barriers and he opened up a door for community, for new people to come into his kingdom and be joined in fellowship. In Acts 10 and Acts 11, we hear the story about Peter going in to speak to Cornelius and his family. Again, the Jews were not supposed to go talk to the Gentiles. Peter said, it was unlawful for me to come into your house. But he was compelled by the Lord to go. Remember, he had the vision of the sheet coming down out of heaven 3 times, and the Lord said to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. And the Lord says, don't consider anything that I call clean unclean. And then later on, Peter just connected the dots, and he's realizing the Gentiles are not unclean. I realize now that God accepts people from any nation who will call upon him. In chapter 11, Peter gets called on the carpet in front of the apostles in Jerusalem, and they criticized him for going into the Gentiles. But Peter said, look, I went in there, I began to tell them about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came, and they all began to speak in tongues. What was I supposed to do? What am I going to do? This is the Lord's doing. And so you see what could have been a barrier, a huge barrier, that the Lord broke it down. Because someone was willing to go across the threshold. Can you imagine Peter walking down there? The angel of the Lord said, go, don't be afraid to go. I have sent them. He walks and he's against the law, stepping across the threshold of this man's house. He didn't even know why he was there other than to tell him about Jesus. But a barrier was broken down. But in his own mind, if it hadn't been the Lord to open up his heart to see this, Peter never would have gone to Cornelius' house. Never would have invited him into fellowship. There would have always been this barrier. In James chapter 2, if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and then a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in, and you say to the man who is rich, sit in this seat, and the man who is poor, sit in that seat. What's happening there? It's a barrier to fellowship. You're picking and choosing special treatment for the rich over the poor. It's not God's way. It's not God's way. Everybody's invited. Everybody comes in. Everybody's called to fellowship. And so here, there's an indictment against church leaders. How many of you know that church leaders can also create barriers to fellowship, barriers to community? We have to be always on our guard about that, that we don't subdivide people up into special groups. We're all invited into community. We proclaim Jesus that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with everybody. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector who are going down to pray. And it says, the Pharisee says, Lord, I tithe, I fast, I do all these things. I don't do these things. I'm glad I'm not like other people, especially that sinner over there. Now, what do you have? You have two people coming to pray. I'm going to pray and he's going to pray. But there's a barrier because I feel like I'm better than him. I feel like I'm more righteous than him. I feel like I'm following the Lord closer than him. He's a tax collector. I'm a Pharisee. But if you saw their hearts, who Jesus said, who really went home justified? Who was it? The tax collector. This Pharisee probably thought, I'm the one who's justified here. Look at all I do for you, Lord. And the tax collector's over here beating his breast saying, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And the Lord looks with favor upon him and says, you go to your house justified. Do you have pride in your life. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And so you see these stories all through the Bible, pictures of this, of people having prejudice, having, I don't know, barriers about relationship. It could be man and woman. It could be different race. It could be different religion. It could be a different moral life. Could be status, wealth versus poverty. There's so many different things. Could be Republican and Democrat. I mean, there's just so many things we have that become barriers to fellowship. And the thing that we have, the only thing we have in common, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we start choosing other items to determine who's in and who's not, who has fellowship and who doesn't, then we're no different than these people. So I'm sharing that with you today because I feel like it's community is what God is trying to call us to. We're coming out of this whole COVID thing and people being isolated. I really feel like God wants us to become part of one another, to feel like you belong, to feel like you're knit together. You have relationship. You have people who have your back, that you're not alone. And to do that, we have to be willing to break down barriers. I pray that, you know, as you consider your own life, three things I'm talking about today. You can stand as we're going to close in prayer. One is, would you be willing to embrace people that are different than you? You know, a lot of times we hang out with people that are like us. But what if you decided to embrace people that are different? What if you were rich and you decided to reach out to the poor? Or what if you were young and you decided to reach out to the old? Or what if you were black and you decided to reach out to the white? Or what if you were white and you reached out to the black? Or what if you were a moral person and you decided to reach out to the sinner? Maybe you're a person who walks in cleanness and you reach out to the drug addict. Can we do that or think about that? Because what we're doing is we're inviting all people into fellowship. We're inviting them to fellowship. We're not just inviting them to pray a prayer. When that person prays that prayer, they just say, I'm going to follow Jesus. We're inviting them to fellowship. They become part of us, regardless of what they've been. And so embrace someone who's different. It's always comfortable to embrace those who are like us. But the kingdom of God has always been about breaking the barrier, going to the place that's not comfortable, God becoming flesh, Jew going to Gentile, Hebrew speaker going to German speaker. Follower of God going to a culture that's worshiping idols. People who are holy moving into places of prostitution. It's just breaking down barrier after barrier after barrier. Think of whatever they are in our lives. So will you embrace people that are different? Second thing I'm asking you to do is pray that you can see people the way Jesus sees them. We all have prejudices at some level. Sometimes they're worse than others, but Lord, help us to see people the way you see them. That when we see that tax collector praying, we would not miss what's going on in his heart. When we see that woman standing there with her tears and her hair over Jesus' feet, we wouldn't miss what's happening there. Paul the Apostle, when he got saved, he's trying to join the church at Jerusalem. And they reject him because they were afraid, because he was out killing the Christians and putting them into prison. But one man, Barnabas, embraced him and said, "Come on, Paul." And he introduced him to the church, said, "Hey, the guy's legitimate. He's truly born again. He's truly changed. God has changed this man. Don't judge him for what he was. Look at what he is." And Paul was brought into the fellowship by this Barnabas. And what we need to have is a church full of Barnabases. Barnabas, and how do you say that in the female side? Barnabé. Just a church full of Barnabases who are able to look at what is God doing in a person's life and embrace them and pull them into the fellowship. And then I guess the last thing I would ask you to think about is, what are the barriers in my own heart? What are the barriers you may carry in your own heart right now? I ask you, kind of in a comical way, look around and find the person you could do without. But the reality is, there's probably someone like that. That's the reality. Someone who offended you, somebody who said something, someone who, whatever. And we walk through life in the kingdom of God, pursuing Jesus, but not the fellowship that he wants us to have as part of his kingdom. We're not called to worship Jesus in isolation. We're called to worship him in community. So if there are barriers in your own heart, for whatever reason, ask the Lord to remove them. So Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for Jesus, who came and called us into fellowship. And Lord, today I ask you to help us to see the barriers that we place in our own hearts that destroys communion, destroys fellowship, it destroys relationship. Father, I pray you would just soften our hearts, open our eyes to see people for how they really are. And I pray that you would help us all to become more fervent in our growing and developing unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.